Coach Alex Steiger and I are currently in a training cycle and we're working on our nutrition. And we would love it if you would join us. So we created a 4-week program called Reach that focuses on both climbing training and nutrition. In the program, you get a 4-week training program from Alex tailored to you. And you get my nutrition program called Nourish, which is over 4 hours of video and other resources with me taking you through the whole process I go through with my clients to educate you on how to make small tweaks in your diet to make big improvements in your energy levels and your performance. In your training program, you'll get 3 workouts every week that will focus on climbing skills and strength workouts. You'll also get one-on-one help from us in my office hours for your nutrition, and you'll be able to ask Alex questions at any time via the True Coach app. We'll do weekly group calls with everybody who's doing the program so we can answer any of your questions, look over your diet log, look at training videos, and we'll also have a Slack chat where you can ask the group or us questions anytime. We would love it if you joined us. It starts August 8th and goes for 4 weeks. And because I love my podcast audience so much, we wanted to offer you a $50 discount on the program when you use the code REACH at checkout. So just go to trainingbeta.com/reach and then use REACH at checkout for $50 off. We really hope to see you in the program, and you can find it at trainingbeta.com/reach. This is the Training Beta Podcast, and I'm your host, Neely Quinn. Thanks for joining me for another episode all about climbing training. And today we're going to be talking about nutrition as it pertains to climbing and training. So in this episode, it's just me talking. And a while back, I did a 5-day nutrition challenge where every day I talked to a live audience over Zoom about a different topic about nutrition. So the other ones were about protein, carbohydrates, meal timing, and crag food. And I'll put links in the show notes to all of those episodes too. But today we're going to be talking about calories. So calories are honestly kind of a no-no topic for some nutritionists even. And we hear all about intuitive eating and that we should just be listening to our bodies about how many calories we should be eating. And I don't really ascribe to that way of thinking. I think that people are so often far off from how their body actually wants them to eat, that their body has a hard time coming through and telling them intuitively what they should eat, because we have all kinds of fears about calories and carbs and food in general, because we're made to believe that food is bad by the media and each other. And so for me, when I work with somebody, the first thing I do is ask them to log their diet. And the reason for that is because I want to know where we're starting from, and I want them to know where we're starting from, and I want them to be able to see when we look at it together, this is how many calories you're eating, this is how many carbs, protein, fat grams you're getting in each meal and each day, and this is how it's affecting you. Because when you don't eat enough food, even at one meal, you're going to feel it later, and it's going to cause carb cravings, sugar cravings, and it's going to make your performance not so great. And so many things. It can affect your sleep and anxiety levels. And that's kind of what I see a lot with climbers, is that we're not eating enough. And actually, I just wrote an email to my audience, and maybe you got it, about the fact that I myself have not been eating enough for years. I was not following my own advice. And it was really difficult for me because I started exercising a lot more this past year. I started climbing outside, like sometimes 4 days a week, and hiking a lot, and I was just tired. I was tired. I was sore a lot. I was shaky on climbs. I didn't feel powerful. I was grumpy. All of the things. And so finally I was like, all right, I need to up my calories. And I did. And then I started feeling better and sending stuff and, you know, not having so much soreness. And I just felt better. And I gained some weight, which is why I had been not eating those calories all of those years to avoid that. But now I'm like, it doesn't matter. I gained some weight. That's fine. I'm climbing well. I feel good. I don't feel tired very often anymore like I used to. And so I guess I'm telling you this because it's a firsthand account from a nutrition professional of making the mistake of eating the wrong amount of food on a daily basis. And so now I feel way more well-equipped to train as much as I'm training right now and to try really hard when I climb. So hopefully this talk will help you to understand how many calories, and when I say calories, I just mean how much food you should be eating for you. I have so many people come up to me and they're like, how much should I eat? And I have no idea. Everybody's so different, and I'll talk about that. But so this should give you some idea of how to figure out how much food you should be eating every day. And depending on if you are training or climbing or not, and in each meal, because that's really important too. So with all of that said, here is me talking. And again, this is to a live audience. So I'm going to do sort of a little presentation lecture type thing. And then there will be questions from the audience that I get in a chat. So nobody else is going to be talking. I'm just going to be answering questions at the end. And yeah, hopefully this will be helpful for you. Enjoy.
Okay. So thanks for joining me. Really appreciate it. And I'm Neely Quinn. I am excited that we're on our fourth day of this 5-day nutrition challenge. I asked you guys for some feedback about how things are going in the Facebook group. And you guys, it seems like if you're not making changes to your diets, you're at least looking at your diets and like making observations, which is awesome. And this process can take a long time. Like, it took me a long time to figure out what works for my diet because we're resistant to change and it's hard to change these things. But just knowing, I think, is the first step. And I'm really excited that you guys are taking this seriously. So today I'm going to talk about calories and how they relate with energy levels. And this is a big topic, but I'm just going to try to distill it down into some basics. And this talk is only going to be about 8 minutes long. But as we're talking, if you have questions, just put them in the chat box and then I'll get to them afterward. So again, I have to disclaim this every time. Everybody is very different. And what works for one person isn't probably going to work for the next person. And all of our metabolisms are very different. And it can be tricky, and that's why this stuff takes time. But what I'm saying and what I'm suggesting isn't necessarily like across the board recommendations, but it will help as many people as possible. So people think of calorie counting as this terrible, laborious thing that will make you feel like you're starving. But I don't see it as that. I look at it as an educational tool to learn about what you're putting into your body, just like we're finding out about the grams of protein and all of that. I think that calorie counting has this sort of stigma. And I think that it's something that we're not taught in school, like how many calories are in foods or protein or fat or carb grams. We don't know anything about food. It's like a mystery. And I think it should be taught by schools and parents, but it's not. And so, we have to do it ourselves as adults to try to figure these things out. And I don't ever recommend that people continue to count calories for long periods of time. I think that can make you crazy and obsessive, but I think it's good to know what foods are made of so that you can, in the future, eyeball your food and knowing that you're getting everything that you need. So that's where I'm coming from with calorie counting. And calories can have an effect on energy levels, whether you're eating too many calories or too few. And some of the common symptoms I see of low or high calories are, and it's going to be similar because for a few different reasons that I'll talk about, but sluggishness, grumpiness, having sugar cravings, anxiety, poor sleep, poor performance, feeling weakness with normal activities like walking upstairs. If you're eating too few calories, you can lose your period. That's like an obvious sign that you're not eating enough. And you can become obsessed with food either way. So if you're eating too much food, your body's having to digest all that food. And we'll talk about that in a minute. And that can make you tired. If you're eating too little food, then obviously like your blood sugar is going to be low a lot of the time and everything's going to be affected in terms of your energy. So eating the right number of calories can help you have optimal energy levels. So because calorie intake is so related with body weight, using your body weight as a guide can help to nail down how many calories you should be eating. And I'm not saying that you need to monitor your weight every single day, not at all. Like we can kind of tell if we're getting bigger or smaller by how our clothes are fitting and things like that. So I use that as a guide to help nail down how many calories you should be eating. And I've talked a little bit about this in the other classes, but so it can be difficult to figure this out. And your requirements will also change depending on if you're training or climbing a lot or not, or if you're trying to maintain, gain, or lose weight. So like if you figure out today how many calories you need right now, it may be different than in 6 months when you're trying to, you know, when you're not exercising as much or something. So it's like a constantly moving target. The most reliable way that I've found to log or to figure out how many calories you need is to actually log the calories that you're eating for a week of normal eating, find the average of that, and then ask yourself, am I gaining weight on this way of eating? Am I losing weight? Or am I maintaining weight on this many calories? If you're maintaining weight, and that's your goal, then don't change the number of calories you're eating. Just look at macronutrients, like all the things that we've talked about this week, for energy improvements. So like you might just need to have more carbs in your diet if you have low energy, or you might need to have more protein. Just look at what my suggestions have been and see where you're at. If you objectively need to gain weight and your energy levels are low, your energy levels might increase quite a bit if you are at a more normal weight, eating enough calories for that weight. So you're going to want to check your BMI. I know that's a rough estimate, but it can give you sort of an idea, especially when you're underweight. And you can do a body fat percentage test to see where you're at. And you might be surprised to find that you're underweight or close to it. And if you increase those calories, your energy levels might go up quite a bit. If you are gaining weight and it's been like a slow and gradual gain, but you don't want to gain this weight and you don't need to, then just decrease your calories by around 200 calories per day, spread out through the day. So that means like taking a little bit out at breakfast, a little bit out at lunch and dinner, so it's barely noticeable. And then your energy levels at this point are probably low because your macros have gotten out of whack. Like a lot of times when we start eating a little bit more here and there, it's usually in the form of carbs because they're delicious. And so just check and see, like you might just be eating too many carbs in those calories. If you're losing weight and trying to, and your energy levels are not good, then look at your macros first. You could just need to increase your carbs and that will fix the problem and help you continue to lean out if that's your goal. But if not, you just increase your calories across the board by 100 to 200 per day and see what happens in a week's time. And if you feel better, great. If you don't, then keep increasing or tweak your macros. But you might just be losing weight too rapidly, and that's really common. I'm gonna go through a couple more scenarios. If you wanna gain weight and bulk up, this isn't super common among climbers, but definitely some people do want to do this. Then eating more carbs will help quite a bit, just increasing your carb percentage. But it's not probably going to help your energy levels if you do that, but if that's your main goal, but increase your overall calories by 200 to 500 a day, depending on how quickly you want to gain. But like I said, just know that this can cause fatigue as well, eating too many calories, because you're having to spend energy on digesting all of those calories. And so one thing you can do to help is to supplement digestive enzymes to help your body out with that. If you want to do it more theoretically, you can figure out how many calories you need by calculating your BMR online. That's like your base number of calories you need. Then multiplying that by the Harris-Benedict exercise factor. And I've talked about this a little bit before. And then you get a theoretical number of calories you should be eating. But it usually doesn't work out perfectly this way because people's metabolisms are just all very unique. Like there are some big people who need very few calories and some small people who need quite a few calories. So it's just kind of, it's just something you have to experiment with. We've talked a lot about overall calories per day, but you should also be aware of your calorie amounts per meal and per snack. So I find that if they're evenly dispersed through the day, as in your breakfast, lunch, and dinner are all approximately the same size, it improves energy levels and makes you feel good during your workouts and climbing sessions, as opposed to having like a really small breakfast and a small lunch and then a big dinner or something like that. So your assignment for today is log what you're eating for a while, see what your average is, and then try to relate with the scenarios I mentioned above and make adjustments as necessary. So I will take questions now. Anything about calories or anything else really? No questions? Can you guys hear me? Can anybody? Yes. Okay, that's good. Okay, so no questions. Like any question? Okay, if you've mentioned digestive enzymes, do you have recommendations for some? No, there are a lot of brands that are good. I can't even think of the one that I normally recommend because it's not consequential. I would definitely go to like a health food store and get them there or off of Amazon and just look for something with really high ratings. But you want it to be an enzyme spectrum. And honestly, a lot of those digestive enzymes, those supplements will have like a million other ingredients in them, some of which ironically cause bloating and gas. So just look for one that is just enzymes. It's like protease, lactase, amylase, all those, and that's it. This isn't about calories, but would you mind elaborating on your feelings about coffee? I've gotten a lot of questions about this. Yes, I will. So everybody, I won't go too far into this, but everybody has their own tolerance for caffeine. There's like the no tolerance whatsoever. And then like my dad who can drink a pot of coffee a day and he's totally fine. No issues with sleep, no issues with energy or anything. We're all just sort of somewhere in there. And I honestly just recommend that you figure out where you are on that spectrum. And the only way to do that really is to stop drinking caffeine and consuming it. And that's only if you're having symptoms, like is your energy bad? Are you sleeping poorly? Are your anxiety levels high? Are you really shaky on climbs? Do you have sweaty palms? Like all those things can be caused by caffeine. So that's kind of the gist of it. Okay, is it okay to be training yet trying to drop a few pounds? It is, and I have done it. It's fine, you just have to listen to your body. And sometimes if you're restricting calories and carbs, if you feel very low energy and you're not being able to get through your workouts, then it's counterproductive, right? So you want to just like be sort of right at that edge of feeling pretty good and also losing weight and like definitely being able to get through your workouts and recovering from them. And a lot of times what that requires are carb refeeds, like once every week or something, just eating more carbs, more calories, just kind of eating to total satiety. And that can be really helpful. It is possible, but it's just not something that I recommend to a lot of people. You have to be really careful and really listen. This isn't about calories, but would you, already did that. And then should I vary my calorie intake daily depending on if I train this day or if it is a rest day? Thanks. That's a great question. It depends on how hard you're training. So if I go into the gym and I'm just doing some pitches and I'm not really exerting myself that much, like, I don't know, 5 to 10 pitches. It just totally depends on your fitness level too, right? If you're not exerting yourself that much, then you don't really need to change anything. We're just not expending that many calories if we're just going to the gym and like casually doing, you know, what ends up being 300 feet of climbing. So it just depends. But if you're doing like a HIIT workout and then you're strength training, then that's a different story. And you might need to incorporate more carbohydrates before, which equal up to more calories before your workout. And then maybe even have some while you're working out, like a full snack with protein and carbs in it. But you're going to have to experiment with like how much is too much. Like if I eat this bar before and then another bar during, and then I have a rehydration mix after or something, which I don't recommend, but am I gaining weight on that? And do I want to gain weight? So it just depends. You're just going to have to experiment. How can I track easily the quantity of calories that I'm eating during the day? You just have to use an app like MyFitnessPal or Chronometer or one of the other things that you'll have to input them. There's no really easy way to do it, unfortunately. You just have to take the time and put them in every day. And again, it doesn't have to be for very many days. Like, you don't have to do this forever. When losing weight, are you supposed to tolerate the sensation of hunger? Yeah. I mean, sometimes you don't. Like if you're on a high fat diet and a low carb diet, you're generally not going to be hungry. And that's part of the allure of keto, is that you don't feel that hunger because fat is so satiating. And if you are on a high enough protein diet while you're trying to lose weight, you're going to have much less hunger because also protein is very satiating. And so that's why with my clients, honestly, often they don't experience much hunger because their macros are so on point. And so sometimes you do, but often you don't if you're doing it the right way. You might have to tolerate some at night, like if you're doing a little bit of intermittent fasting along with your minor calorie restriction. How doable is it to lose weight while also building muscle? Yeah, it's totally doable. You can do that, especially if you're, I mean, I don't know that we want to like build huge muscles, but if you're strength training, you can be increasing the density of your muscle and creating more tone. And that again requires a really high amount of protein and the right amount of carbs. So, and those are like the suggestions that I've made, but yeah, you can totally do that. Should you aim to have every meal follow the 40, 35, 25 carb fat protein recommendation, or should it just balance out by the end of the day? Yeah, I would have every meal follow that as closely as possible. On day one, you mentioned that it's better to actually bring meals to snack on versus snacks. How come? Are real meals just less processed? So a lot of snack foods, I don't know if the word processed is right. I don't really care about processing foods because like cooking food is processing it, or like taking corn off the cob to make popcorn is processing it. So I don't have a problem with processing foods. I more have a problem with the ingredients that are in most snack foods, like a lot of preservatives and a ton of soy that we don't necessarily need. And a lot of people are sensitive to soy, and it makes your stomach, or a lot of people's stomachs hurt. There's just like a lot of extra ingredients in a lot of snack foods. There are some great snack foods, and like the things that I've mentioned before, they're fine. But I would just recommend taking whole foods and combining them into snacks, whether that's yogurt with granola or like beans and rice and vegetables, or tofu and vegetables and rice, or like peanut butter and almond, peanut butter and apple, or, you know, so you see what I'm saying. And so if you can find snack foods that are just whole foods, then that's definitely more preferable. When we burn calories during exercise, are we burning those calories from foods that we just ate or from glycogen stores that were produced from eating earlier in the day? Glycogen stores are produced from eating days in advance. So, like, I'll talk about this more tomorrow, but if you want to have your glycogen stores topped off when you're trying to send something, like, you have to be methodical about that for days in advance. But the calories that we're burning during exercise, if you've eaten sugar right before, it's going to be used up right away. It's going to be some glycogen stores, and it's going to be potentially some fat stores as well. Just depends on what you're doing, for how long you're doing it, as well as how topped off your glycogen stores are. So it just depends on what you're doing and like what kind of exercise you're doing. Because, you know, like strength and power sports are going to require more carbohydrates. Whereas if you're going for a very long, easy run, you might more easily tap into your fat stores and the fat that you ate as well. Okay, I ordered the Fizzy Vantage Supercharged Collagen. Is this a complete? Yes, it is a complete protein. Meaning, should I also be consuming a protein drink after working out? No, that's the whole point of the Fizzy Vantage Supercharged, is that he's added leucine to it. So it is a complete protein. You can consider that a full meal. Can you speak to trying to maintain weight while also hard training and high fitness level? Trying to gain or maintain weight while also hard training and high fitness level. I know you mentioned adding 200 to 500 calories. Simply add more protein to the macronutrient ratio or just overall increase in calories? Yeah, so if you just add protein, you might, if you're trying to maintain weight, they're two totally different things, gaining and maintaining, right? So if you're trying to maintain, you don't necessarily need to add anything if you're currently maintaining your weight. If you're trying to gain, then I would look more at carbs, because protein, it's difficult to take protein and make it into glucose for your body to actually use as energy. It has to go through gluconeogenesis, which is not as easy as just eating glucose, right? So I would just say add more carbs for the most part, but just overall calories. It's not like you're just going to be sucking down glucose. Well, you might, but I would just say add more food, especially focusing on carbohydrates. But then you risk, you know, affecting your energy levels. And so in your case, if your energy levels are struggling, then I would just add calories across the board. So like every time you put food on your plate, just add a little bit more of whatever it is you're eating. So more meat, more beans, more rice, more veggies, more oil, everything sort of, I can't think of the word, but evenly. Is there an upper limit to how much protein you can absorb in a day? So for a while, people thought that it was like 20 grams in a sitting. So like 80 grams in a day, and that's just preposterous. But there's more research on that right now. And I don't really trust the research because like people are doing just fine on carnivore diets and have for millennia and thousands of years, where people are just fine eating tons of protein and tons of fat and very few carbs. So I wouldn't worry too much about that. And unless you're trying very hard, you're not going to reach that limit. Like there was a study that I just looked at the other day that said that you could have like 40 grams in a sitting and up to four times a day. And that was totally fine and absorbable. But again, that's 160 grams in a day. And it's hard for people to even get 100 a lot of the time. So I hope that helps. Any other questions? I can take one or two more. You're welcome, Sarah. Thanks, Eric. Yes, you're welcome. Anything else? Cool. Okay, have a good one. Bye.
All right. So I hope that you enjoyed that talk. I do have to say that I didn't end it quite that abruptly when the thing was actually happening. I did edit out some stuff that you didn't need to hear. And I wanted to take a minute to add a few things to this, because while I said that I ask all of my clients to log their diets, I should say that I ask almost all of my clients to log what they're eating in an app. Because when you're talking about a person who has serious triggers about looking at what they're eating and then placing very harsh judgments on what they're eating, I am not going to ask somebody to do that. And if you are like, if thinking about logging your diet is totally repulsive to you, don't do it. Don't do it. I'm not asking you to do anything that's like emotionally traumatic. No need for that. But what you can do is just start experimenting with different amounts of food and different kinds of foods. So if you have some rice and some chicken and some vegetables on your plate and you're not feeling so great, try putting a little bit more rice on your plate, or try putting a little bit more protein chicken on your plate, or try putting a little bit more fat on all of it. You know, just start experimenting. We have the rest of our lives to experiment with food. That's kind of how I like to look at it. It doesn't have to be a rushed thing. It can take as much time as you want it to, and just make notes somewhere about how you feel having eaten certain ways and certain things. So while I think that diet logging in an app in a very mathematical way is super helpful, if that's not something that you're ready to do, that's totally fine. And there are other ways of going about it. The other thing I wanted to add, which I don't think I was super detailed about in the talk, is that I really, really do like having people spread out their meals and snacks pretty evenly through the day. So I talk about this more in the meal timing talk that I did, which, like I said, I'll link to in the show notes. But if you, say, eat 2,000 calories per day and you like to have breakfast, then lunch, then a snack, then dinner, something like that, I would want your breakfast, lunch, and dinner to be about the same size, which would be around 600 calories, right? So your breakfast and your lunch and your dinner are all 600 calories. And then that takes you to like 1,800 calories. And then you've got about 200 calories left in a snack. And you can change that around. You could eat 1,500 calories for your meals and 500 for your snack. And your snack would be more like a meal. And this is all really mathy, but you see what I'm saying is like the meals should be around the same size, made up of around the same constituents of macronutrients, and not the same foods necessarily, but just the same numbers, right? And that's what I see makes people feel really good. It helps you be able to be prepared any time to exercise and to also be recovering really well from the exercise that you do without getting yourself into like a blood glucose hole. The last thing I wanted to talk about is sort of a tricky topic, because there are so many people out there now, including nutrition professionals, who say that dieting doesn't work and weight loss is futile because you're just going to gain it right back and then some. And I've never really had the bravery to talk about this before, but I think that that is sort of a ridiculous concept. The idea that like we cannot lose fat and keep it off. And I'm not saying that I think that we all need to lose fat, but I do think that there are a lot of people out there who really want to and would feel more comfortable and be able to be more active if they did. And there are lots of people who come to me wanting to lose fat. And a lot of times I recommend that they not do that because it would be too difficult for whatever reasons. And it would not be conducive to how much they're training at the moment, things like that. So it's not like whenever people come to me and they want to lose fat, I'm like, yes, let's definitely do that. That's not the case, but I do think that there's a time and a place for people to have the desire to lose fat and then do it in a very healthy, sustainable way. So the reason that I think it's ridiculous to say that nobody can lose fat and keep it off is because I think that people are just doing it the wrong way. I think people are going about it in a really severe way where they're cutting out carbs altogether. They're cutting out meals. They're drastically reducing carbs from specific meals. They're going way too low calorie. And of course, that's going to cause a rebound effect. Whenever we deprive ourselves of too many nutrients, our body is going to make us eat. Like, if you try to not have carbs at your lunch, you're going to have sugar cravings later. And especially as an athlete, because we're using so many carbs in our exercise, we need them. And so if you instead were to just take out a little bit each day, and that's why in the talk, I talk about 100 calories, 200 calories to start to use as a starting point, right? We're not talking about 500 calories a day. We're talking about something very small that can kind of go unnoticed a lot of the time, but our bodies definitely notice it. And so you taking it out very evenly from each meal, right? Like a little bit less rice, a little bit less chicken, a little bit less oil from each meal, tiny bits, right? And so you're barely perceiving that it's even gone, which mentally and emotionally is much easier than thinking, oh, I don't get any carbs in this meal. I'm feeling deprived now. And so a lot of times people are eating an excess of food. And so they are just gradually gaining and gaining and gaining. And that's why over the course of 20, 30 years, you all of a sudden weigh a lot more than you did before. And it's just from 200, 300, 400 extra calories every day. And if we just sort of take those out imperceptibly, then your body is going to be totally okay with that. And once you get down to the body composition that you want to be at, then you can just up your calories by zero or by like 100 calories a day or maybe 200 calories a day. So it's not like you do this big diet, you lose a bunch of weight, and then you go back to eating the way that you were eating. That is what makes weight loss and fat loss unsustainable and impossible. It's because we're not taught how to do it in a sustainable way. And I know that this might sound really, you know, common sense coming out of my mouth. It really does. It really does sound like common sense, but it's not the way that people generally go about weight loss. So if you are trying to lose fat, think of it more of as a long-term process and in learning a different way of eating. And using all those things that I talked about in the lecture, like having enough protein, having enough fat in your diet, having enough carbs at each meal so that you feel satiated and energetic while also having a body composition that's more conducive to what you want and your sport and your ability, your mobility and all of that. So I know that weight is a really difficult topic to hear about even, and certainly for me to talk about in a public way. It's easy for me to talk about it one-on-one with people because we can go into these emotional issues and the mental blocks and the misconceptions and the myths about all about nutrition in general. But yeah, talking about this for me is pretty vulnerable because I know that there are a lot of people who disagree with me and think that you should be able to just accept your body no matter what, even if you are gaining and gaining and gaining over the course of your life. I just don't think that that's necessary. So those are the main things I wanted to add to that talk that I had given. But I really hope that this helps you to have some idea about how to move forward with your own diet if you are struggling at all with your energy levels, your climbing performance, your body composition, all of that. Last thing I'll mention is that Coach Alex and I are doing our program, our first ever joint program that covers both climbing training and nutrition. And that starts August 8th. And because you are a podcast listener, we wanted to give you a discount code for $50 off the program using the code REACH. So if you go to trainingbeta.com/reach and then you go to the checkout page, you'll see a little box there where you can enter REACH, and that'll give you $50 off. We have room for more people right now, and we would love to have you train alongside us while we're in our own training cycles and learn about how diet affects you. So you can learn more about that at trainingbeta.com/reach. And in the program, you'll get 4 weeks of training programmed by Alex just for you. And then you'll also get my nutrition program called Nourish. And in that, you'll get over 4 hours of video with me and other resources to help educate you on how to make small changes to your diet. You can see I'm all about like moderation. And so nothing I ask people to do is extreme ever. It's always really doable. I'm not asking you to change your food tastes at all. We're just making small changes to help you have more energy in your daily life, but also in your climbing and training. And then also how to decrease digestive issues like gas and bloating, heartburn, and then also how to overcome some emotional eating issues. We'll have private nutrition office hours every week so we can talk privately about your nutrition. And we'll do group talks every week on Zoom with both Alex and me and the whole group. And we'll be able to answer all of your questions, go over different topics. I'll do a nutrition hot seat. And we'll also have a Slack channel, which is a chat app where we can all talk together. Alex and I will be in there constantly talking to people and answering questions. And as far as your training goes, you'll get 3 workouts every week, and those will include climbing drills and strength workouts, like with weights and with hanging and all the things that we need to become a better climber. So by the end of the 4 weeks, which starts on August 8th, you should have a much better grasp of nutrition and your own personal nutrition. And then also you will know exactly what to do when you're in the gym or at the crag. And then we'll also go over with you how to move forward after the program is over. So please come train with us, trainingbeta.com/reach. And thank you so much for listening all the way to the end of this episode. And I will talk to you next week.